Welcome to the poem of the week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks. We've got a poem this week that touches on a topic that is near and dear to many of our listeners. It has to do with diabetes and tight control. Just as a reminder, the importance of tight glycemic control for the protection against cardiovascular disease has been clearly established by the DCCT trial for type 1 diabetes. However, the role of glycemic control in reducing cardiovascular risk has never been established for type 2 diabetes. And clearly, hyperglycemia is an important risk factor for the development of microvascular disease in patients with type 2 diabetes, as it is in patients with type 1 diabetes. And this has been confirmed in several observational studies. Improving glycemic control does improve microvascular outcomes, but as we saw in the UK PDS trial, the macrovascular complications are not improved. Again, the UK PDS trial, a study done in the UK designed to compare the efficacy of different treatment regimens, diet, sulfonylurea drugs, metformin, and insulin on glycemic control. After a period of 10 years, they found that the average glycosylated hemoglobin, hemoglobin A1C, was reduced in the intensive therapy group. It was an average of 7 compared to a little less than 8 in the conventional group, but no reduction in macrovascular disease. So the poem this week that you've chosen, Mark, asks the clinical question, does intensive control of glucose improve outcomes in type 2 diabetes? What does this new study add to what we already know?
Yeah, this is the VA diabetes trial, and it's similar to two other big recent studies, Accord and Advance, and those earlier studies found that tight control didn't reduce the risk of macrovascular outcomes and complications. Actually, one of them found an increased all-cause mortality in patients with type 2 diabetes, and certainly an increase in complications like hypoglycemic episodes. So this was a randomized open-label study. While the patients knew which group they were in, the outcomes were blindly assessed, so that's a good thing, and allocation was concealed. The authors found patients with type 2 diabetes that wasn't well-controlled, which meant a glycated hemoglobin of at least 7.5%, and they excluded folks with heart, renal, or liver disease who had a BMI over 40 or who were otherwise very sick. Patients were randomized to receive strict control or usual care. They were started on metformin plus rosiglitazone if they were heavy, BMI over 27, and glimepiride and rosiglitazone if they were less than 27 BMI. And the goal of the strict control group was to achieve a lower glycohemoglobin, at least 1.5% on average lower than in the usual control group. They added insulin if glycated hemoglobin was over 6% in the strict control group and over 9% in the usual care. Otherwise, they all got good care in terms of diet, exercise, hyperlipidemia, hypertension, things like that. They followed these patients for over 6 years, and it was a group that looked a lot like our patients other than being mostly guys. This was a VA trial, so the average age was about 60 years, and they'd had diabetes for about 11 years, and the average A1C when they came in was 9.4%, so they were poorly controlled. And the intervention worked. You know, you were talking about the UK PDS where they had about a little over 1% difference in glycated hemoglobin levels. In this study, the final average glycated hemoglobin was 6.9% in the strict control group and 8.4% in the usual control group. So it worked. I mean, they got them down under 7, and the other group was 8.5, which, you know, most of us would, or most physicians might say, well, that's terrible.
But it's a lot better than they came in with.
It's better than they came in with. It's a little better. And they did a good job of controlling their blood pressure. They got their blood pressure to target, and their average LDL was about 80. So they did a good job with lipids and blood pressure. And so, and this difference in hemoglobin was stable throughout the study, but there was no difference in all-cause mortality between groups. There were 95 deaths in the usual care group, 102 in the intensive care group. There was no difference in cardiovascular outcomes, progression of retinopathy, the microvascular outcome, progression of nephropathy, time to their first heart attack or stroke, or any other individual macrovascular outcomes. Not surprisingly, the intensive care group, which was much more likely to be on insulin, had a lot more hypoglycemic episodes. Yeah, so this confirms what the Accord and Advance found, is that beating down the A1C is really not helpful and is, if anything, maybe harmful.
Right. Just one reminder, and that is that, again, we are talking specifically about type 2 diabetes. You know, this is this disease entity is the poster child for looking at surrogate endpoints, and it's just a reminder again that while we all feel good and have sort of patted ourselves on the back for a decade or two at getting people's glycated hemoglobins low, it looks like the actual outcomes, patient-oriented outcomes, are really not going to be as substantial as we'd hope they would be.
Yep, I think you're right.
Well, thanks, Mark. We will talk with you again next week.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Talk to you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.